I shot an arrow into the air.
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Juno-nominated jazz guitarist and composer Bill Kuhn and acclaimed Canadian vocalist Laura Kramer. They opened up about their new 2022 CD called String Songs. After years of experience on the bandstand together, they have finally collaborated on a book of genre-spanning original songs. Their new offering draws on jazz, Latin, country, and folk, and evokes a wide range of moods, from carefree exuberance to haunting melancholy. We cover some great ground in this interview. Enjoy.
Okay, well, thank you at the top for joining me here on Neon Jazz to talk about the album String Songs. And before we get to that, we just went through quite a time on planet Earth with COVID for the last couple of years. And as performers and artists, how did you survive and how did this change you now that we're reemerging?
Well, that's such a huge and important question, isn't it? Because we've just been through this, you know, unprecedented time. Obviously, it's affected everybody a little bit differently. For me, it gave me some time away from my daily life to sort of dig into music in a different way. You know, like I found that really wonderful for a while. And then I found it more difficult because I wasn't getting together with humans as often. But I would say that you know, just on a personal level, that it was just a very interesting experience because you got to see what the limits of your comfort of isolation, what that limit is. And for me, I found that I actually mostly could live quite happily without other humans for quite a while, which I was kind of surprised at. But there is a limit to that. And after a certain point, you really want that, not only that social thing, but of course, you miss the playing aspect, playing with people and making music. That's such a big thing, such a big part of our lives for so many years. And so, you know, there's such a relief in the last while when we were able to get back together and make music together.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree with, at the beginning of the pandemic, I think it was just such a hectic life that I have with like two kids and music and, you know, working as an artist and all that involves and trying to find time, that it was nice to actually have the time to spend, you know, looking at things musically that maybe you don't have time to. So I enjoyed having that amount of time that I didn't have to sort of rush around for gigs and then deal with other domestic things. But I agree with you, Bill, nearing the sort of end of this, before things opened up, it was, you know, just really yearning to connect with people. And fortunately, we actually were working on this record during the pandemic. We had a grant, and so that was a wonderful way to creatively keep things sort of churning. And so we did sort of do a few things online and a few kind of, little performance things online, as well as, you know, just thinking about the record, what we're going to do. So that was a nice way to focus the energy, creative energy. But Vancouver, lucky enough, did have a few venues that stayed open, and we were able to perform, too, fairly soon after lockdowns. I forget the exact dates, but they opened up.
Yeah, it was sort of in and out sometimes.
Yeah.
Open and closed, yeah.
You obviously have good music chemistry together. You both have had very rich histories in music. How did you two intersect, and how does this work so well between you two?
Well, I think Bill is such an amazing player that, you know, I feel as a vocalist in any type of instrument, it's just, he really has such huge ears, and he's such a huge support on the bandstand and just a great human being. So, for me, it was quite so natural and easy, and just such a just what a gift. Bill is such an amazing musician and so easy to work with as a vocalist, and I'm sure any other instrumentalist would say the same thing, that it was such a natural and easy connection that I don't know what else to say. He's just such a wonderful human being and easy to connect with him.
Yeah, and I guess, yeah, that connection we made, you know, many years ago now, was always interesting to me because although Laura's background was in dance, she also was a musician. And so when I first met her, she kind of had both these careers going on, plus she had a new baby, you know, which was kind of amazing. The first rehearsal I ever did, that she had her young Serafina strapped to her body as she rehearsed the tunes with us. And I just thought, well, this woman is strong and smart and talented, and she does many things. And it's really been actually a real joy to watch her progress through these years and just become such a powerful, beautiful vocalist. It's really fun for me to form that connection, but also to try and imagine, you know, what is the best thing musically, you know, on guitar to play behind Laura or to play with her. You know, that imagination is that idea of imagining sounds or imagining what chords or imagining what textures or what colors would be best suited to what song is something that I really enjoy working on.
So with this album, String Songs, how do you feel about it? Artistically, you go in with the vision, you want it to come out a certain way. How do you feel about this album, and what are you hoping the listener gets from it?
Yeah, so I would say that it's a departure for us because we've never collaborated quite this closely on a record. We've recorded together, but this collaboration is kind of very dear to our hearts because we started with the idea of simply making maybe a duo record and writing some standards, playing some standards and maybe writing a couple of originals. And eventually the idea of writing original music overtook it. And it's sort of, you know, the folk element and the singer-songwriter element didn't totally take over because we're both jazz musicians, but it really influenced us. And so we took some risks, you know, like Laura was writing music and lyrics and I was writing music and lyrics, and we would bounce things off each other. So, you know, I guess what I'd love people to sort of listen to this and see it as two people sort of enjoying each other's company. And this, you know, this is what we came up with. And like I say, a bit of a departure, a little bit of a different type of, approach to the music than what you might normally see on our other records.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like, you know, this record would is so unique to our situation, just two people working as songwriters on the music, on the lyrics together. So it really is, I feel, such a unique project in a lot of ways, for us anyways, that I don't, you know, I know for myself, I wouldn't have come up with the words or the music if it wasn't working with Bill on it. So in terms of what people feel coming away with it, I'm not sure. For me, I feel like, you know, the songs are, I think they're not really, I mean, I hate to label things, but they're just, they kind of exist in, amongst like different genres. So it's, you know, there's jazz, there's, I don't know, folk elements, maybe blues elements, Latin, like they really exist within this kind of nameless genre or many genres coming together. So I don't know, just recognizing that. it's always so difficult to know what people are going to think, but hopefully people enjoy them on some level. And then, you know, you just have to sort of allow that to leave and go out into the world.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, I'm hoping that maybe some of these songs touch a nerve with people and maybe they recognize themselves in some of these songs or recognize some of the emotions that they've gone through, because mm-hmm. There are some lighter moments on the album, but there are also some heavier moments on the album that talk about, you know, love and loss. So people can kind of recognize some of those things and maybe be comforted by them. That would be a nice outcome. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the one thing about albums coming out now is that it opens the door to live music. What are you hoping we all collectively get about the power of live music and appreciation, something that we go in with anew as we get back to it.
I mean, I feel like the sort of like the community, I mean, just coming together as human beings and connecting is such a powerful thing and really has always been such a big part of live music. But sometimes maybe you didn't recognize it or as a performer and even as somebody listening to live music, just the privilege of that and witnessing people make live music as well as, you know, just, being a part of that in the audience. So I think one of the first gigs that I did back that was, you know, quite full with people and felt like we had been back was at our jazz fest last year. And it was just the connection with the audience and the connection with the musicians and the joy that we felt was pretty special. And I feel like hopefully we can continue with that feeling and with that intention of just coming together as human beings and sharing a moment. And that is special and a privilege and maybe for myself, maybe taken for granted a bit before. So personally, I just feel like to continue that idea of just really connecting with each other on a really kind of energetic and positive way.
Yeah, that's so cool. I like what you said there, Laura, and I'm totally on board with what you said. And just to add one thing, you know, my partner says, reminds me, she says, you know, when you go hear live music, it's soul enriching. And she always, even though she's busy, she always makes it a point to go hear live music. And she always feels that way about it, that enjoys that connection and feels that it feeds her soul. And you know, sometimes as a performer, you also want to remember that hearing other people in a live situation, not just on recording, is sort of kind of vital to our art as well. So, you know, as well as missing performing, I also missed hearing other people in a live context.
Where is the best place for anyone to pick up the new album, learn about, you know, any shows that are coming up, anything related to this project and your worlds?
Well, we have the recording on Bandcamp. And we have it on all the streaming platforms, so, you know, iTunes and Spotify, etc. So it's out there. We also both have websites, so mine is BillKuhn.com. And also you can connect with us on Facebook if you like.
That's about it for me. Thanks, Bill. That's great.
So, and you have a website too, Laura?
Yeah, my website is LauraKrema.com.
Wonderful. Hey, thank you for opening up about the album. I'm looking forward to featuring, you know, this interview and the music on the show. So thank you for taking time out today.
Thank you so much. So great to meet with you.
Yeah, great to connect, Joe. Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to yet another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds and singers in Vancouver, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to both Bill and Laura for their time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
In the heart of a friend.
Neon Jazz.